Radiotopia.
You didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season. Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from the Radiotopia universe. Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, is out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
My name is Steve, and little did I know that my life was going to change one day when I was 12, and my teacher gave us an assignment. She wanted us to keep a journal, and she suggested that to help us, we write the journal as a letter to a friend. But I was a fat kid, I didn't have any friends. So I did the next best thing. I wrote to my childhood hero, a television star.
Growing up, most kids idolize someone they've only seen on TV. But not all kids obsess over the obvious choices. In fact, some kids have idols that on the surface seem downright ridiculous.
Not Magnum or Remington Steele or even Knight Rider. My TV hero was the English butler to Bob Uecker. I wrote letters to Mr. Belvedere.
From PureX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. Today, as part of our month-long tribute to unlikely celebrity obsessions, the story of a kid growing up in the 90s who tried to forge a relationship with a TV personality who wasn't even a real person.
Streets on the China, never met her before. Who cares when you dropkicked your jacket as you came through the door? No one glares.
Mr. Belvedere was a beloved sitcom from the 1980s about a very refined English butler who came to live with a Midwestern family. I believe Mr. Belvedere was the butler to Winston Churchill. Which, of course, makes a lot of sense. You go from Winston Churchill, one of the greatest statesmen of the 20th century, to Bob Uecker.
I'm Mr. Belvedere. Are you Mrs. Owens?
Uh-huh.
And the family consists of you, one husband, and three children?
Yes.
Nothing in the oven?
What?
Well, that should suit me just fine.
He was someone who had been all over and was bringing that knowledge to sort of educate the kids and teach them about the greater world beyond Beaver Falls.
Here, Inky. Inky?
Can I help you?
Is that you, Mr. Belvedere?
Yes, Wesley.
Hey, what you doing?
Just a little relaxation technique I learned from a Himalayan yogi.
I like boo-boo.
I always felt a kinship with Wesley more than a lot of the other 80s kids on TV shows because he was sort of the misunderstood wise ass. I was so jealous of that kid Wesley because every week he had a problem. Mr. Belvedere solved it. He talked him through it. I didn't have that. But I did have my letters. So I wrote to him. These are my letters. February 22nd, dear Mr. Belvedere. Today we had school. It was okay. I got in trouble in school, so I came home, napped, had a cinnamon roll for a snack, watched The Last Starfighter. Then I had onion soup for dinner, watched Alf and the Hogan Family. They were all pretty good. It's awfully late now, Belv. Rating? 4 3/4 stars. April 3rd, dear Mr. Belvedere. Today we had school. It was okay. After school, I had basketball tryouts. I didn't do so well. After school, I came home and had cereal for a snack and watched Beverly Hills Cop. Eddie Murphy was in it. So was Judge Reinhold. And then I had ravioli for dinner and watched TV and had a snack cake for dessert. But I'm starting to think I'm no good at anything, Belv. Rating? 4 3/4 stars.
It started as loose leaf pages that we turned in, but then there was something very therapeutic about writing down my innermost thoughts, even though they weren't very deep at that point, because I was 10. But the thing was very comforting to me, and so I think I just kept doing it. And the assignment lasted 2 weeks, and I wrote to Mr. Belvedere for 2 years.
April 5th, dear Mr. Belvedere. I finally realized how much everyone in school hates me. Made me kind of sick. But later I made meatloaf for dinner, and then I watched TV for a while, and we had blueberry pie for dessert. It was an okay day, Belv. Rating, 4 3/4 stars. April 9th, dear Mr. Belvedere. Today we had school. It's okay. I got nominated, sort of, for treasurer today. I don't know if I'll win the nomination, though. It's pretty late now, Belv, but I can't sleep. Rating, 4 3/4 stars. April 12th, dear Mr. Belvedere. Today we had school. It's okay. After dinner, Ma took us to Taco Bell for a snack. I'm going to bed now. It rained today, Belv. Rating, 4 3/4 stars.
Yeah!
April 13th, dear Mr. Belvedere. Today, NASA launched the first space shuttle since the Challenger disaster. It was okay. We got to see it in school, but then we had Kentucky Fried Chicken for dinner. It was so good. I didn't get nominated to run for treasurer, Belv. Rating, 4 3/4 stars. April 14th. Dear Mr. Belvedere, today we had school. It was okay. And then afterward, I had basketball practice. It was really hard. We ran and we ran and we ran. I'm not a strong runner. And I am hurting, Belv. Not the greatest day. Rating, 4 3/4 stars. December 20th, dear Mr. Belvedere. After school, I had to go back to school for my band's Christmas concert. We did excellent. After the concert, my mom stopped at Friendly's and let me get ice cream. I ate so much ice cream. I ate and I ate and I ate. It was the best. Later, when we got home, I watched Night Court and went to bed. The next day, December 21st. Dear Mr. Belvedere, today I was too sick to go to school. I don't know why. I was home all day. I went to bed at 5:30. I was so, so sick, Belv. Rating, 4 3/4 stars.
I think one of the things that was great about Mr. Belvedere and TV for me in general was it was a place where I could just go every night and lose myself in my imagination. And that wasn't necessarily something growing up in Ohio. Imagination wasn't exactly celebrated. It was very much nuts and bolts and practical. And there weren't a lot of kids like me at school. And so I felt pretty alone. Mr. Belvedere always said, do what you want to do. You don't do what someone tells you to do or wants you to do. You have to choose your own path. I think the confidence I got from writing to Mr. Belvedere every day was more subconscious than conscious, because I wasn't intimidated by a blank page, and I wasn't intimidated about putting my thoughts in an order that, and then speaking them out loud or reading them. And that came with doing 2 years of writing every day. So I'm a television and film writer. I write one-hour dramas and action adventure. So you could say my letters to Mr. Belvedere were kind of what started my whole career off.
February 23rd, dear Mr. Belvedere. Today we had school. It was okay. I got tested in class for AP at high school next year. It was really hard. Not so great at math. Then, after, I came home and worked on my speech for the contest. I wrote it myself. Then I got ready and I went to the contest. And I totally won first place! It was great! And after that, it gets better. After that, Ma and I stopped at Pizza Hut and we got a whole bunch of pizza to take home! Oh, man! Huh. Maybe this writing thing is where it's at for me, Belv. Rating? 5 stars. Yeah! It's weird because that was a very formative moment in my life where I realized I could make a living writing. And a couple years ago, my mom found that speech. I wanted to share it with everybody. But as a special treat for everyone, the Mortified Gang thought we'd kick it up a notch and have someone special read that speech. So I'd like to invite to the stage my idol, the kid that actually got that advice from Mr. Belvedere every week. TV's Wesley, yeah! Mr. Bryce Beckham.
Yeah! Thank you. Challenge the Summit by Steve Skaya. Challenge the Summit means setting goals and reaching them. I have challenged the Summit many times in my life. One challenge has been participation in sports. Baseball, basketball, and bowling are all activities I have tried. Other people have also challenged the Summit. Helen Keller overcame her handicaps. At the age of 19 months, she was stricken with an acute illness which left her deaf and blind. When she was 10, she learned how to talk by feeling her teacher's lips. 10 years later, she entered Radcliffe College. This is also a great example of challenging the Summit. I know that on my way to the Summit in my life, I will have many peaks. But there will also be many valleys. I know that I will not let the valleys stop my progression to the Summit. Steve Skaya.
That was Steve Skaya, reading aloud his childhood writings with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness, in Los Angeles at King King. Now, while Steve spent his adolescence feeling like the obscure chubby kid, Bryce Beckham, aka Little Wesley Owens, spent his adolescence on TV, in front of an entire country. But when we caught up with Bryce after the show, we discovered he and Steve actually had a lot in common as kids, especially when it came to lifestyle choices.
I wasn't very athletic. My diet was monitored by adults. And I remember one period in particular where they were a little worried about my lack of activity because they were worried about, you know, me plumping up a little bit. But I think my dad just said, like, you got to get out more. We're worried about you being indoors all the time and, you know, and not getting to, you know, run around and do stuff. I was like, I don't want to run around and do stuff. And they're like, yeah, but you need to run around and do stuff. I started taking tennis lessons, which didn't last all that long. I think I did that for, you know, maybe 6 months.
So Bryce's parents weren't exactly taking him to Taco Bell in addition to dinner. But just like the character he portrayed, Bryce was resourceful, especially when it came to getting his hands on controlled substances.
They were always smuggling me sugar. I did have some people who were sympathetic to my cause. Danny, the prop guy, would basically set aside a bag of giant marshmallows and stash them behind the set under the stairwell, you know, in like a little nook where only I could really fit. And that was kind of like my fort. I'd go find my marshmallow stash. And yeah, I think I had like a comic book back there.
And even though Bryce was in show business as a kid, it didn't stop him from having his own Hollywood idols. like someone else who happened to be one of America's most beloved sons.
My celebrity obsession was Michael J. Fox. I had like total man crush on that guy. I had posters up in my room. You know, mainly it was Back to the Future and Teen Wolf. I thought he was a good actor. You know, he could skateboard. He could really play guitar. So I kind of idolized him.
And one day, Bryce got an opportunity that Steve would have killed for. A moment with his childhood hero, where he could ask him anything. Maybe even a bit of advice.
I went to a taping of Family Ties. And I knew Teeny Others. We had the same publicist. I sat in the audience for the taping. My publicist had arranged it so that I could go down to the front row and meet Mike. So Michael J. Fox came up and shook my hand. And the entire time was just talking to my publicist. Like, didn't even really make eye contact with me. Not that I blame him for that or anything. He was having an adult conversation. And I was standing there like a, you know, mute little idiot kid with my jaw hanging open. Words totally failed me when I actually met him.
So Bryce didn't have the courage to talk to his hero, and Steve obviously never met his, mainly because Mr. Belvedere isn't actually a real person. Which made us wonder, why did Steve spend 2 years of his childhood spilling his heart out to a fictional character?
The reason I wrote to Mr. Belvedere, not a real person in the world, was because real people were all letting me down. And I knew the difference between a fictitious person and a real person. And I knew there was a Captain Kirk and there was a William Shatner, but I don't care what William Shatner has to say. I care what Captain Kirk has to say, because that guy's seen the galaxy.
Young Steve's connection to the show ran deep, and any threat to Mr. Belvedere's world felt like an even bigger one to Steve's.
I don't really remember specifics from the show, except the extremely traumatizing tornado episode of Mr. Belvedere. I think I didn't sleep for 3 nights because they were all hiding in the basement about to be destroyed by a tornado. And of course, in true Mr. Belvedere fashion, he was not concerned because it's nothing compared to how he remembers the V2 rockets and the Battle of Britain and that, because Mr. Belvedere was a cool ass motherfucker.
Of course, Steve wasn't the only adolescent boy who feared what life would look like without Mr. Belvedere.
I was 8 or 9 when I started, and then I was 14 when we did the last episode in 1990. I used to just bawl crying at every rap party every season. I would just be a mess because I was having all this separation anxiety from leaving these people who were basically like my family.
Eventually, Bryce and Steve were forced to say goodbye to the show that shaped their childhoods.
As you know, I was never one for long goodbyes. George? Belvedere, after your many threats, I'm glad you never fired me.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I'm losing my best friend.
Wesley, I've known heads of state and many celebrities, but none have given me finer memories than you. I shall savor our moments together, even the embarrassing and painful ones, which account for most of them. Though you are an Owens, I shall always think of you as a son.
I think the thing that I would have wanted to hear from Mr. Belvedere, were he real and talking to me, would have been some version of, it's all going to be okay. Just keep doing what you're doing.
I think Steve has kind of made his ideal life for himself. I mean, I feel like just from what I know of who he was when he was writing to Mr. Belvedere and who he is now, I think he's come a long way. And if Mr. Belvedere had any hand in that, I think he would definitely be proud.
To share the shame, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or visit getmortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this series. As many of you know, the Mortified Podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp. And thanks to AdZerk for providing their ad-serving platform to Radiotopia. If your company would like to support our podcast too, we'd love that. Email sponsor at radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Katie McMurrin, Shelby L. Otmani, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Catcher. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snake, Snake, Snakes, Additional thanks to Lance Roberts Studios, Hadley Dion, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.